The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 22nd of May, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Mango Green. I wanted to keep it a secret. I done touched 2-3 ripe mangoes for the year. 3 different varieties. I'm going to say this. This year is looking different. It's weird out there in fruit land. We had heavy winds. We've lost a lot of blossoms very early at the beginning of the mango season and even at the beginning of the pear season, right? And so my advice to you is don't down any opportunity to purchase or eat a mango. Something's, I don't know, the weather is a little weird this time of year. Far less mangoes on the trees. Now, that's New Providence. I'm not sure what's happening on the other family islands, but that's New Providence. Carl, I see you on the line. Let me say we got lots to talk about this morning. I want to call it an open line, but I want us to use caution. I want us to use caution when we calling in about with the things we want to talk about. Don't call anybody's name. Don't call anybody's name. People are very sensitive about even about things that are in the public domain at this time. Let us exercise caution. There's so much I want to talk about. I'm really excited about this conversation. I don't know how excited you guys are. There's a conversation about elder rights. There's a conversation about long-term care and elder abandonment taking place. A reason why this conversation is important to me, I'm a human rights advocate, and so any conversation that concerns rights is important to me. The conversation becomes even more important when I take time to reflect and acknowledge that I too am getting older. The third reason why it's very important to me is because it appears as if it's a coordinated conversation taking place across the region with statements from the Bahamas Minister of Health and a statement from the Barbados Minister of Health being featured in the relevant jurisdictions on the same day. I think it's an interesting discussion because I still want us to look at the new ministries and get a sense of what we could expect from the new ministries, but more importantly, what we can demand from the new ministries. And this conversation on elder care actually gathers up a whole bunch of different ministries, like the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Social Services, the Ministry for Housing and Land Reform, the Ministry for Transportation, for transport, among others, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources. When we talk about what the standard, right, like what the minimum standard is for healthy meals, healthy consumption for elderly people, right? So that's one thing on the docket. The papers are filled with stories this morning. The question I have, what does a low inner city turnout indicate to us, especially juxtaposed to the rally scene, right? What can we learn from that? And then Walker's walking all over the place. Walker's walking all over the place. He was at BTVI. And I want to talk about that a bit. Jomo Campbell, Minister of Agriculture, is in today's paper talking about a new community farm open in Centerville. I think that's worthy of talking about. There's so much to talk about this morning, so let's get it going. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Are you there?
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you. How you do?
I really like this topic right now, right? You know why I like this topic?
Mm-hmm.
You know how much people leave their parents or elderly people to PMH?
Mm-hmm.
Just leave them there.
Yeah.
They get sick, drop them there, pull off, and never turn back.
That's something, yeah.
I mean, this. I don't know if the people can't, don't have, I don't know. I just ain't that cool to do it. But it happens. It's like a normal occurrence.
How many? Okay, so it is a normal occurrence. It has been happening for a very long time, right? We could go all the way back to 2012. I found this article in the Bahama Journal, Increase in Elderly Abuse, when the then minister responsible for social services, Melanie Griffin, indicated, there's a quote, quote, it is a cause for concern in terms of this. Whenever there's a downturn in the economy and times get difficult, we find that the most vulnerable among us are those that are impacted first. Quote, so seniors or elder persons are no different, and we have been seeing a level of neglect and abandonment, as well as problems with their finances, where the younger persons in their homes would come and take control, close quotes. That's 14, well, let's call it 13 and a half, almost 14 years ago, right? And so the question I beg is, what concrete, overt, and sustained actions or policies have been maintained over the last 14 years to try and improve this situation, right? There's a quote in that article, according to the Latin American and Caribbean Demographic Center, the numbers of people aged 60 or older will triple by 2050. This was indicated in 2012, right? That's 14 years ago. Mrs. Griffin encouraged anyone with information on the abuse of an elderly person to report the case to the ministry's Senior Citizens Unit or National Hotline. I don't have the numbers here with me. I want to apologize for bringing up the subject and not having the contact information. But this is not a new problem, right? This is not a new issue. Like I said, what concerns me greatly is that it appears to be a coordinated approach, right? So when I saw the number of other Caribbean countries having the very same conversation at the very same time, I said, let me see what PAHO is saying, right? So I found this article. PAHO launches new policy briefs to strengthen long-term care in Caribbean. 17th of April, 2026. PAHO has launched a new series of policy briefs to support countries in strengthening long-term care across the Americas in response to rapid population aging and growing care needs. In Latin America and the Caribbean, an estimated 14.4% of people aged 65 and older, that's around 8 million individuals right now in the Caribbean, an estimated 14.4% of people aged 65 and older, around 8 million individuals, require long-term care, a figure projected to rise to 16% by 2050. Long-term care includes support for people who, due to chronic illness, disability, or dependency, are unable to carry out basic and instrumental activities of daily living on their own, such as bathing, dressing, eating, using the bathroom or telephone, moving or taking medications. According to Patricia Marsh, PAHO's regional advisor on healthy aging, long-term care encompasses all activities, paid or unpaid, that help maintain or improve a person's functioning and compensate for temporary or permanent loss of capacity. And stick a pin. I see there's a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron Mango Green.
Morning.
Yeah, I got a species I was supposed to let you check with from last year, but they look at it kind of holding because I pray in that they stay on.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost all one of the trees. I don't know if a curse scheme on it to lose all of the avocados, but I wanted to share something that I think somebody was trying to get this message to MJ, but I really would like to have this discussion with Lang because, you know, I'm very ignorant in these models, but I'm getting information, right? And this is first-hand information. Somebody had voted at the advanced poll, right? It's an elderly lady. She's not a fool. She said that there were no names on the ballots. There was just emblems. You know what I mean, right? There was just emblems for the respective parties. And what she's saying is that there were two boxes, ballot boxes, and they represent alphabetical chronology. However it was, it didn't matter to me. I didn't vote right there, right? What I'm saying is, and what she said that is, for me, the comment and the question for me would arrive at is, post-advanced elections, wouldn't it be a tedious task to find out where to allocate each of these votes to the polling divisions?
Okay,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Well,
so that's a conundrum, and then some people seem to be predicting. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but there's a chance of skullduggery.
So hold on.
Someone from that department to come and explain it to the people why there were deviations, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not crying about who wins because I'm still working. It doesn't even matter to me. Because I've never gotten anything from any politician.
I got you, but
from words. All right.
So it is possible. I heard reports and saw reports that there were maybe one or two polling stations where they ran out of ballots, like the correct number of ballots had not been allocated to the polling station, and that they had to move some ballots. I also witnessed somebody who unintentionally spoiled their ballot, and they were given a replacement ballot. So it's possible that there are replacement ballots that don't have the name of the candidate on it, but does have the emblem on it, right? Because once you're at the correct polling station, then you're voting for the correct candidate. But I agree with you. I would invite, welcome, attend, pay attention to an activity where the PRD explains to us any deviations that may have occurred, any issues that may have occurred, how they were dealt with, and which law or policy was used to determine how it would be dealt with. I mean, those things are educational, right? It gives people context so that they can rationalize and interrogate these things on a sounder footing. And then I discover ZNS, they even have a tourism channel. Man, we have channel upon channel upon channel just waiting for programming. And y'all falling down at ZNS, if, you know, and local programming, if y'all got me watching programming that's 20 years old, at the very least, use ZNS to educate us, man. They're young people. This is not a you know, I ain't trying to bore you all to death. This is valuable information. That's the best way to get it out. The text says, how would they know which polling division to allocate the vote? Because the box that the ballot was put in has an indicator on it which polling station it belongs to. All right, so I want to get back to this conversation about elder abuse. I am very interested in hearing what Bahamians have to say. Let me tell you why. And you get back to the article and some of the stats. Because I don't think culturally Bahamian parents are prepared to follow the rules and standards that they set out for their own children. Right? Like, this is my house. This is my rules. If you ain't buy it, don't touch it. Things like that. Aging parents prepared for a cultural shift, right? Are the children of these parents prepared for the cultural shift required to accommodate living with aging parents? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey.
Hey, good morning.
I'm an elderly person.
Yes, sir.
And I'm being abused daily.
Now, sir, I tell plenty jokes, right? You being serious?
Very serious.
Okay.
I opened the paper this morning, and I see where the American ambassador is touring like BTVI, right?
Yes.
And they said that a new BTVI training thing It's $250 million, right?
They said, I think between, the, if I could read the thing again, I read, they said between 180 and 250.
No, but on the headline it says 250.
I know.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now, how many training facilities do we have in this country already?
Several. BTVI has 7 campuses. As we speak, I imagine they're smaller and do not have the capacity they imagine for the new center, but that's 7 just with BTVI. And I'm sure we have other private sector.
And then Wolf Road.
Yeah.
And then there's the one being built on Wolf Road. And there's the one down Glasson Road.
But I think this they want to put this one potentially on Faith Avenue, I think, near Anatole Rogers.
Yeah.
But the National Training Agency is different. The National Training Agency is sort of soft skills and coordinating mechanism.
But as you go ahead,
mm-hmm.
even to be involved in a technical program
mm-hmm.
in this digital age, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will need to have more than the average.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they're trying to build something and there's no platform or foundation
mm-hmm.
for this to happen on.
The environment it needs for maximum expansion and growth, yeah.
Now, ironically, that $250 million also mirrors another number that we have heard for a hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, they're trying to appease the American government by offering them a chance to build a school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what I found most insulting
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, that news clip that you have each morning?
Tell me. I'd be reading.
Dr. Sands.
Ah, okay.
Dr. Sands, Mr. Halkidis, and Dr. Menes
mm-hmm.
expressed some concerns about the voting stuff, right?
Okay, yeah.
And those concerns weren't like really addressed during the during the election campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So now, after the fact, all the dust is settled, and now the politicians are finally talking about things that we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know if it strikes you the way it strikes me, Aaron, but it's almost as if both sides, no, I guess three sides now.
Mm-hmm.
PLP, FNM, and COI.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to lead us into anything that is going to take away their prestige and mm-hmm. their power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They, like, I say, you know.
If I could, let me rephrase it. If I could, they don't want to grow the country beyond the capacity of the political class to manage it.
Yes, you know, and essentially, they are leading us into servitude. See, because way back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every government agency or ministry had its own training program in house.
Mm-hmm.
As a 16 year old. I went in the BEC's training program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not listening.
I did technical cadet corps program from like 1989 to 1991.
Yeah, but still, we got to check on the results of what's going on. Oh,
return on investment. Yeah.
I'll close with this.
Yeah.
I was listening to your talk show host after the opening of the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what what caused my ascension?
Yes, sir.
You know, the host was talking about a red carpet affair.
That's the language. Well,
red carpet affair.
Now hold on. Was it Mr. Lang or was it Mr. Newry?
No. Gabby.
Well, after that day.
Gabby.
Okay. See, because yep. You know, Mr. Newry works in the hotel space, right?
Yeah.
So he's all about curating the experience.
Yeah.
And Mr. Lang is a statesman.
Yeah.
Right, so he appreciates the sort of stature of the moment.
Yeah. But if it was, go on. But see, whatever happened yesterday at Adonis is going to be paid by the public treasury.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you know, right off the bat, our politicians started the ball.
Off
rolling
in the wrong direction, yeah.
You know, now, hopefully, I'm public treasury soon runs money.
Why? No, Uncle.
No.
And then again, let you go.
Hey, if we got to borrow money to pay salaries, something we ain't doing right.
Yeah. Maybe we need to hit rock bottom. To get a true grasp of what's going on. Uncle, let me reflect on the things that you've said just now. You said a whole lot of important things. Thank you.
Stay safe.
Yes, sir.
And take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Man, Uncle said so many things that were of importance. We're going to get back to the BTVI campus and the walker walkthrough, right? Walker be walking. That's what I tell y'all. You see the man tennis match his suit. He's a walker. He be everywhere, always waking, 9 to 5. Producer, see if you could find that song for me. So I want to get back to the discussion on elder rights. So like I said, an elder abandonment, which the conversation cannot be had without acknowledging, right, that there are rights that people who are aging have because of the inherent nature of getting older, right? And so the government has an obligation. The government has an obligation, a duty of care for aging citizens who have contributed to the development of the country. And so drawing that to my concern about what appears to be a coordinated attack on citizens of the Caribbean by various governments attempting to shift the duty of care or the burden and obligation of care for the elderly onto their children. Now, which is a Christian society, right? We say nuclear family based. These are important things to us. So it doesn't seem unreasonable to ask or to have an expectation that children would take care of their parents. But we're talking about Caribbean parents here. You are asking, in many instances, people who experience emotional, physical, sexual, or financial abuse and violence from their parents and caregivers. Let's go to the phone line. Oh, I'm sorry I missed you. Call back, man. Right? That's why I think it's important to frame the discussion in that way. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You there? Listen, if 323-6232 is not working for you, try 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. I would love to hear from Family Island listeners how they feel about this subject, given we have this cultural thing where people who come from the Family Islands to find work tend to support family back on the Family Island. And sometimes in exchange for that support, Mom will send the children to Grammy or the family homestead on the island for the summer, the whole summer. Let's run up and down. Don't worry about nothing. Right? And so I want to know how family islanders feel about how the country prepares to take care of them or ensure that they are taken care of as they age. Let's go to the phone line. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, Aaron, I was listening to, I wanted to know if you had any statistics on the number of individuals who have been abandoned, like, you know, elderly at the hospitals and the hospices around.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to get any numbers? I know you didn't have the internet and all that good stuff.
Well, hold on, listen, thank you for reminding me. Let me just say that my BTC services are back up. When I left the show yesterday and I drove to BTC, before I could walk in the door at the mall, a technician called me and was heading to my house. And so that situation has been resolved. We're still waiting on cable, but they came to the house, right? We're just waiting for them to resolve it. And I just have to make this note.
But I sent you a message saying it's going to be on today, remember?
Yeah, you did. You did. Thanking you.
Yeah, but no, but I want you to give me, let's go back to, I'm happy you're up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You, even though with the internet, you can't research information
I was
like
able,
this.
I was,
because it's not.
It's not available online.
Right.
And the article that I found, Darvill pledges to pass laws for families abandoning patients, includes no statistics, no actual raw data about how many people are actually there this year compared to last year, compared to nothing, no data available in the article. Almost as if the data is not important to the conversation.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I think that should be something that he should be proud of if it's good. But because it's not good, that doesn't make him proud.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I think more importantly, the numbers will indicate the crisis level, right? And
mm-hmm.
the truth is, the burden of care is on the state at this point.
That wouldn't make him proud to release that, based on the two points you just made.
I mean, even
that make them, you know.
Yeah, even PAHO acknowledges, right? They say, at the same time, current systems face major challenges, including limited service coverage, shortages, and undervaluation of the care workforce, and insufficient data to inform decision-making. That's what PAHO's saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I hear a lot of agencies saying one thing, but what actually happens is what happens, eh?
That's what it appears to be. And I think there's a... there's like a cognitive dissonance just hanging in the room, because we had the prime minister, the person who won this election, is a senior man. And we had an unfortunate bit of campaigning that tried to paint him as a feeble, derelict geriatric, right? Who can't take care of himself. That came up in the campaigning, but there's no substantive, no real talk about what this administration intends to do for the elderly. Nothing in the speech from the throne. And in fact, when I looked at the Guardian poll for the day yesterday, which was a very interesting poll, right? The way that they framed it, they say, what should be the government's top priority moving forward? We have the normal economy, jobs and cost of living, crime reduction, immigration and national security, healthcare, education, and social development, right? But the dementia and Alzheimer's community locally and globally have been screaming at us for the last 5 to 10 years that dementia numbers are going to triple, right? Like we're going to have a crisis by 2050. I don't see any movement. There was no language. And so in all of the political back and forth defending the prime minister against that nasty campaign ad, right? There was no actual real policy discussion on what it means to provide for, to care for, to protect and take care of geriatric communities. So go on.
I'm sorry?
Go on.
No, but you know, most of them are seniors with money who can afford to book themselves into a hospice that would actually assist them with dying.
Right. And so, if you look at today's banner headline in The Guardian, inner city voter turnout lowest, that's why I asked the question, like, what does that indicate, right? Because I don't think that voting is real for inner city people, because like you say, y'all could afford to do whatever you want.
Yeah. Some of them even ain't got no children to look after them, so they ain't thinking about that.
Because that's me you talking about. That's why the
No, I was talking about, you're not a politician.
I'm not.
You're talking about politics, but could I tell you a personal story?
Quick, because I got another call on the line.
Oh, well, then I'll just bow to the other caller. Thanks all for right. taking my call.
On Monday. Tell me the story on Monday. Thank you. Producer, let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm hope you're well. So, Ms. Green, you know, in one of your peeve subjects, you talk about basically everyone is driving on the streets of New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
When I come out of Pride Estate into, by Eagles Electric, into the roundabout,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know there's a line coming off of the Need Down Highway?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody hardly ever have the decency to allow you to get into the roundabout and get around the roundabout and head east.
Okay, but now, sir.
And then you have these people driving down the road like they forgot their lessons when they're being taught how to drive. They'd be switching from lane to lane in front of you without any indicator. If you toot behind them, they put their finger, middle finger, up in the air through the window.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nobody have any decency for anybody on the road anymore. And the police do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be coming up on your right side.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right-hand, I have a right-hand van. They come down the right hand. They don't have no siren on or nothing.
Listen.
They go in them now. When they see the traffic slow up, they put on their siren, jump the lane in front of you, go up the road, turn the siren off. It shows me that they really wasn't going nowhere. And they do that religiously. Also, on the dimension and other things you're talking about, Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Green,
mm-hmm.
There's another thing happening in the Bahamas. I have a cataract in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
I've already been to 4 different eye doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Now they say that they have to schedule me for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So when I check with the chief nurse at the eye place on Soldier Road, who operates with the doctor, the Cuban doctor, eye specialist, they've gone back.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese doctors, they've gone back.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got some Indian doctors in here.
It already took over a year for an appointment with the Cuban doctors.
That's what I'm coming to.
Yeah.
I talk with the chief place. I say, ma'am, when am I going to get scheduled for the surgery? Because the cataract is starting in the left eye. They said that'd be slow. The lady said they're still working on the 2024 patient. I say, so I got to wait to 2025, and I read in 2026. You've had 4 different examinations. One doctor gone back to Trinidad to get a master's degree in surgery. So mm-hmm. she left. That's a Bahamian doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get the surgery, the only way you can't afford the private surgeons, you can't afford to go to America, because just to get there, you talk about tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get it done at the hospital, the nurse told me, sir, we've been having meetings and meetings with the Ministry of Health, because the Bahamian people who are not going blind, not really blind, the cataract, they're going to have to stop driving because they can't see properly.
You're right.
And then, the next eye going to be starting up,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a disabled person now, and then I live by myself.
Yep. Listen, sir, I want to thank you very much.
People in the Bahamas, senior citizens, and other name of dementia, they go in blind.
Yes. They go in blind. They're on the road. No, they refuse to paint the lines in the road. They refuse to paint the lines in the road. They refuse to ensure that all the street lighting is operational. They refuse to ensure that the public roadways are free of obstructions that could block out the street lights, right? They refuse to enforce the existing laws, regulations, and policies. And now you tell me the doctor got... Anyway, the point is, now is still a year after people them going blind waiting for eye appointments, right? And we have no real public transportation system for people with mobility challenges. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. So here's my take on something, Ms. Green. And I ask that most people allow people their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Stop criticizing someone because they say what they're feeling.
I know that most
everybody
people
is feeling the same.
I could criticize.
Dave Davis and them will go all over the world to get medical care, but they take the taxpayers' money, spend it, and squander it. And when I say squander, the reason why they never reveal the contractors is because the same thing would happen with Shane Gibson.
I don't know what happened with Shane Gibson. All I know is the man could sing. He could sing. I don't know why he won't be in politics. He's a phenomenal vocalist. I mean, plenty of other singers want to be in politics, too. I don't know why. You know who could sing? Mr. Brave Davis can sing. He could sing as well. You know what's a shame? Like, this isn't just about... producer, please prep the caller. Caller, I come to you right now. This isn't just about, like, the infrastructural things. Are the care facilities available? Are the human resources available, right? Are the beds needed and the chairs needed available in-country and affordable, right? It's also about how we preserve the past and the lived experiences of aging Bahamians. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Listen, I didn't get a chance to say yet, good morning, 3 Score and 10 gang. What y'all saying? Thank
Aaron,
you, sir. Yes, sir.
Sir, I think you should have this show for 2 hours. When you come on, because it takes an hour to get through to you.
I'm sorry about that.
And you just have such good shows.
Thank you.
And sometimes I want to make my command, and I sit to my office desk and can't get through. But anyway.
Yes, sir.
I spoke about something like this before.
Mm-hmm.
With the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the government, once you have reached or attained 65, the government shouldn't tax you. Because why? You're at a point in life where you got one foot in the grave and one on the banana peel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to, like the man said, most of us can't afford to go to doctors in the States and all that. Or if you could, you're taking a whole lot of your money. So mm-hmm. if you got something in life, you don't pay the bank twice. You maintain the property. The people ain't pay you the rent all the time. And you're up and down maintaining the property. So if you get to 65, Eric, you already pay all kind of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Let the next generation who the person would leave it to, let them start paying taxes. But if you get to 65, you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Let me enjoy my last days and not worry about having to pay all these taxes on my property.
Because
mm-hmm. I right now need a knee replacement. My back giving me trouble. I got to make a decision.
Yeah.
When I collect my little rent or whatever, I got to go pay insurance or I got to go to the doctor with
it. Mm-hmm.
So
one or the other.
They need to look out for people like us who made it to 65 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tax us to death. Finish killers, man. They finish and kill you.
Last year
alone, I paid $8,000 in taxes for them to fly up and down, have big parties, or have a big ceremony. And what I get out of all my labor?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can soon be in the grave. And who's taking the money now? The doctor and the undertaker. When am I going to enjoy it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And they think because you might have acquired something in life, you're supposed to have money. But you spend all your money trying to take care of things.
Well, this is it, right? We're talking about people, so... At some point,
right.
You're going to be a person, if you're lucky, right? You're going to be a person who is responsible for juvenile dependents and geriatric dependents, right? So when are you going to have enough money to save for your retirement and your future, right? There's so many different elements that have to be torn open and interrogated for us to really get to... I want to say like sensible and coherent, but for us to get to the point where we can begin plotting out policy. I even wanted to talk about the commitment made in the speech from the throne on AI, right? Artificial intelligence. Producer, please prep the caller. Call, I come into you right now. At the end of the article, Government Outlines Plans for AI Governance Act, Nassau Tribune, in yesterday's paper, the last sentence is, the government also plans to establish a national digital ID system. Like, that's a whole show on its own, right? But for this conversation today, you know, you could have talked about a national digital ID system in the context of a mechanism that can help us protect elderly and geriatric aging citizens. I await the fullness of this Sorry, caller, I was coming to you right now. My bad. I was coming to you right now. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. So if you get a chance, I would say search. This article was a very interesting read. PAHO launches new policy briefs to strengthen long-term care in Caribbean. That's in the Cato News. That's, I think, Curacao, 17th of April, 26. Caller, I see you just lit up the board, but there we go. Good morning, caller. You got 60 seconds. Good morning, caller. You there? I lost you, caller. I see your caller just came up. We're going to go to a break. Caller, do me a favor. Call right back or hold the line if you can. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We are talking about an increase in elderly abuse and the state's response.
Girl, you see her eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leaves your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green and we got a caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Erin.
Good morning, how are you?
Very important topic, this inaugural.
Yeah, good morning, uncle. How you doing?
Oh, trying to do it. I'm glad it's a very important topic you brought on. Our numerous contributors like me, who built the Yellow Garden, low-cost home, the first stage.
Yes, sir.
And Princess Margaret Hospital, the mayor of medical ward, I removed silence from 666 to Brooks Hill.
Wow.
In 1958-59, I built the most modern school in Massachusetts inaugural before I came to Nassau. When I came to Nassau, only horse and carriage and bikes. There was no traffic in Nassau.
Wow.
Minister works on the South Street by where the police have the station out, Nassau Street.
Yes, sir.
I said I have to say this, and I've been treated very badly. I started paying tax on my property on Blue Road, and they're charging me so much money, and then what happened? I had a problem with my roof. I got to move out temporarily. Right now, I'm catching eternal hell. And the police, I'm the most senior of the Royal Mounted Police Force over there. They are my toddlers and my juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. I can't even see the commission briefs. I can't even see the human resources. They reject me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do, really. Sometimes I feel like committing suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You know, when... I just wanted to say quickly, you know, when the young people complained that the old people would...
When I bombed the first traffic, I mean the traffic by the color of the jitney in the country.
Yes, sir.
50 jitney.
Wow.
I have formed the first security company. I'm the most oldest Marine in the country also. Defense Force came out of us. And I can't get no help.
Uncle, you have my number still?
I don't think so.
All right. Producer, Uncle, don't hang up. I'm going to transfer you to the producer. I want you to give the producer your number for me, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. And this speaks to... Thank you very much. This speaks to the... That element I talked about, we haven't even begun to talk about the state's obligation to preserve the past and the lived experiences of Bahamians that have fed the development of this country. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Sorry, I missed you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Wonderful. You know, Aaron, you know, in this country, we have to demand respect. If you were to drive past the Haitian embassy right now,
mm-hmm.
you'll see they have a bunch of flags, the Haitian flag on the wall. And there are two large Haitian flags flying mm-hmm. above their building. No Bahamian flag.
That's because it's an embassy. Hold on. That's because
yes.
it's an embassy and the rules for flags flying on the embassy grounds are different because embassy grounds are considered the actual territory of the country. So even though it's in a foreign jurisdiction, once you cross the boundary, there's a line. Once you cross that line, like so with the U.S. embassy, once you cross that line, you technically, legally on U.S. soil, right? So the rules for embassies are, I think, that the Bahamian flag is not required, either it's not required to be present or not required to be flown above or at the same level of the flag of the embassy.
But there's no flag at all.
Yeah, I know. I have to look at the exact details. Somebody sent something to me over the last few days, but if it's on the embassy, it is definitely, I think it is allowed to be flown with either higher priority than the local flag or without the local flag at all.
Okay, but also I remember also on Haitian Flag Day, you know, there were cars that drive around here with these two Haitian flags on both sides and no Bahamian flag. You know, we have to demand more respect for this country.
Now, another cultural and even, I want to say, policy sensitivity, generally in jurisdictions around the world, on Flag Day, we relax the rules and allow people to fly their flags on the Flag Day, right? I agree with you that we should consider, right, how we should always consider the impact of our actions on the people around us, and we should be sensitive, right? So I would say the Haitian community should be sensitive to the current sentiments of many Bahamians. Right?
Yes.
But on Flag Days, we sort of relax the rules.
Yeah, you know, someone just sent me something, lady from the section, because various police are actually looking at these same Haitians who are driving around with Haitian flags on, the island flag.
Yeah, and likely because it's not, was it on Haitian Flag Day?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere around the Haitian Flag Day.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that they want to be very strict in enforcing the law. They probably allowed it on Haitian Flag Day, but to ensure that the public understand that they have a no-tolerance policy, they allow it on Flag Day, and then they bring the hammer down as soon as Flag Day is gone.
Okay, thank you. Just want to be aware of that.
No, man, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. All right, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes. How you doing, Aaron? But on a Flag Day, the law says that whenever you fly a foreign flag, you must also fly the country flag. And it must be, I think, on the right-hand side and not be a lesser size than the other one. So they're simply enforcing the law in respect to that. I think we have very similar laws. We just don't follow them.
I got
you. I just want to say just two things. My mango trees, I had like three mango trees and they're equal to one in the blossom. Like every one has a section. One third of the tree has mangoes. The other two thirds doesn't have any this year. Mm-hmm. In a way.
It's the direction of the wind. Like it, I've seen a number of trees like that.
No, but actually, you know, the house blocks the trees. Mm-hmm. In respect to that, it's just like each one has one third. Like they decide to work together as one this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you do this third, I do this third, I do this third.
That's up me.
Yeah. So, but just to say, I hear seniors talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we have about $50 to $60 billion in untapped assets in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And seniors could very easily, if we understand the new financial service and banking laws in the Bahamas, could easily tap $1,500 a month in their homes, in their houses, mm-hmm. without ever touching their equity.
See, Alan.
Anything else.
Hold on. How much money you said?
$1,500 a month on the average.
Oh, no, and that's per person if we could unlock the $50 billion, you say?
No, if you own a home, there's $1,500 a month equity you could take out without ever touching the value of your home or risking it.
Listen, I just appointed myself the leader of the old people's dem. Okay, right. Go on to your next point.
But the next point I want to talk about, we talk about what government's supposed to do and these things to do. And we're in the 21st century. So here's what happens. There's a mm-hmm. concept called policy framework procedure,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the policies, we have this oral tradition. And you talk about the blueprint for change, the blueprint for progress, and now the speeches from the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't allow policies to be written, what must be done and why. And then that must be followed by a framework on how the system will be structured, mm-hmm. how it will be executed, and the procedure, what steps must be followed. And so what you have this oral statement is our policy is this, 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 and this, but you can't find it anywhere as to what it exactly is, mm-hmm. and then the framework, like you talk about these digital everything. This is not the first time we've been talking about this. We've been talking for 20 years. Yet the Bahamas has been constructively rated to being 18 to 22 years behind because we talk digital. But go and ask them, where is the written policy for these?
Yeah.
Can we see the framework of execution, and can we see the procedures being followed for inclusion? And you don't have it. And this is why we don't have a standard of judgment of how we could progress from day one to year five. Because you just simply say, our policy, our field. And when you talk about the exclusion of people, this is why they get excluded. Because when you take a picture of a group picture of individuals here at the fort, and you give everybody a copy of the picture, the first thing they look for is themselves. So as long as people no longer begin to see themselves in this economy, in this country, whatever else, the picture doesn't mean anything to them.
Absolutely. Thank you, C. Allen. We're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. I want to read this right now, though. I'm looking at Section 9 of the Flags and Coat of Arms Regulation. Section 9, Part 1 says, no flag of any foreign nation shall be flown in the Bahamas unless the national flag is also flown. Section 2 says, paragraph 1 shall not apply to flags of any foreign nation flown at any embassy, consulate, mission, or military establishment of that foreign nation. Section 3 says, where flags of a foreign nation are flown along with the national flag, they shall be approximately the same size and flown from separate staffs at the same height as the national flag. So again, on the embassy grounds, the consulate grounds, the mission grounds, or in a military establishment, you don't have to have the local flag with the foreign jurisdiction flag. And to Section 1, no flag of any nation, of any foreign nation, shall be flown in the Bahamas unless the national flag is also flown. That's why I said it appears generally across the world, countries tend to relax that rule on another country's flag day, right? And then they, right after that, like you see in Turks and Caicos, they may return to a zero-tolerance policy. I got some text here just as we close out this hour. Again, we're going to continue the conversation in the next hour. Aaron, there's no Bahamian flag around that U.S. embassy. Tell these people stop nitpicking. It's sort of an unconscious bias, you know? Here you go. You know who else could sing? Anton, when he calls you all, say, I believe that brother could sing, though. I believe he could sing. It's something about his voice. I believe he's mashed down the church when he take the mic. Here's another text. I think one She-Ra in Parliament could sing and could sing better. The government will digitalize us out of every dollar because there's no more penny. This is another aspect that has to be considered, right? Ministry of Finance or Ministry of Economic Affairs, right? How are we transitioning our systems from analog to digital, and how does that impact the aging portion of your society? Mrs. Green, drivers are now turning left and right on green in front of vehicles without stopping or acknowledging the right of way. This is madness. Oh, yeah, they've been turning right on red at Shirley Street for about 3 years now. They start just running the light, red light at Church and Bay, at the new bridge, at the old bridge, all over. And if you want to know whether the PLP truly has a mandate to lead the country, look at how the people driving. The people are not driving like they stand in support of the government that they voted for. Here's another text. The so-called retirement homes in the Bahamas or in any deplorable or undesirable state should be revamped. Senior citizens should be treated better. Yes, thank you, text. Aaron, there's no... Okay, there we go. We are out of text, but we're going to continue this conversation along with other stories and walk through the government's pronouncement or commitment on AI, on FOIA, and other mechanisms intended to ensure government transparency. FNM forces government to fix unconstitutional Senate vote. And I heard there was some heckling. I heard there was some heckling in the House of Assembly, in the Parliament, yesterday. We're going to get into all of that and more in the next hour. You've been tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.